choir. I love to tell the story. It's good to hear those old hymns, isn't it? We don't get to hear all those all the time, so thank you, Lauren and choir and praise team, for leading us this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you take in your Bible, turn to perhaps the most familiar psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. We actually looked at this psalm this summer, but we're going to come at it from a different perspective this morning that would be of a blessing to you and me this morning as well. Psalm 23, in fact, we're going to look at really some very these next 5 weeks past today, we're going to look at several scriptures that you'll be very familiar with, but to kind of tie them into this series we're talking about. We wanted you to kind of get the idea of what the key word is. So we printed a banner about as big as you can print. So big we couldn't even hang it. It's so big. So the key word over the next 5 weeks past this point is the word what? Transform. Good. 14 of you can actually read it. Can y'all see it from the back? I know you can see it right there. Can we say that word together? Transform. We want to be transformed by the power of the gospel, by the old, old story. We talked about last week about spiritual health, the cross up here to my left, your right up here. And this morning we talk about physical health. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this, I panicked because I thought to myself, physical health. Oh boy, I can hardly wait. I mean, I need to hear the physical health part because I need to lose some weight. I need to exercise a little bit more. How many of you would just say right now, I need to exercise more? Anybody? Good night. All righty. I can see a series coming up, and I'm going to get some of you gurus to do our running people to lead this. Somebody said, did you exercise this morning? I said, I sure did. I walked from the farthest part in the parking lot that I could into the building this morning. That was my exercise. I do one sit-up a day. I get up in the morning, and I lay back down at night. So I need to do more than that, though. That's not acceptable. We need to be doing more with our physical bodies. But we're going to talk about this morning, though, not necessarily about what we eat and how we exercise. But let me just say, there is no doubt those things are very, very, very important. It's something we oftentimes overlook. We'll talk about a lot of other sins. We don't want to talk about gluttony very often because that makes folks uncomfortable. Because we in the South, we like to eat, and more fried, the better, right? That's just how typically we are. But we need to be healthy people. We need to be reminded, this verse is that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that involves every area of our lives, our spiritual lives, and this morning our physical lives. But when we talk about more than that, is sometimes something that affects us physically that is not a physical thing. It is physical in that it is in the world, but it's something that is something that deals with how we think, but has dire consequences if not dealt with appropriately, and that is the word stress. Stress. Ever been stressed in your life? Ever found yourself to the point where you were stressed? Think about these phrases. Maybe you can finish these out. I am all stressed. Yeah, I'm at the end of my, I'm coming un, oh, y'all, this would be like a game show. Y'all are great, all right? I'm ready to throw in the, you ever felt that way before? I'm about to come apart, right? Now, I know you are pro at stress, but sometimes I don't deal with stress too well. Maybe you deal with it better than I do. But we spend a lot of money in America dealing with stress. People who say, I'm uptight, I'm worn out, I'm under the gun, I'm over the top, I am burned out. You find yourself at that point? Yet we stop and think about what the Word of God says, that should not describe us. That we should, as believers, come to a place where, though there are certainly seasons where there's higher levels of stress, not that we can control stress, but we can control how we react to stress. This message title is entitled, From Stressed to Blessed. I want to take it from Psalm 23 to give us an idea of what would be of help to us. See, stress at its core is not a bad thing because our body reacts to stress. There is a physiological reaction that takes place when we're stressed. There's things that happen. Our pulse quickens. Our adrenaline shoots in our body. And that's a really good thing. If you're in the middle of a road and your body didn't say to you, hey, I need to be stressed, right? There's a problem, right? Your body reacts as I need to move out of the way. That stresses me out. A car is coming my direction. I would like to live, therefore I'm going to move out of the way of that vehicle, right? So we know that in and of itself is not a bad thing. The question is, what do we do with that? Really more about how do we deal with chronic stress, where our bodies never shut down. We are constantly under the gun, constantly where our bodies are always at the spot where scientific studies have shown and proven that chronic stress in your life is dangerous, it is devastating to your physical health, it is damaging to your brain. Deadly to your body. In fact, we know it can absolutely kill you. So we did talk about how do we deal with stress? What does the Bible say about dealing with this word. Now, the word stress doesn't come in the Bible. We don't see the word stress in the Bible per se. But we find Jesus dealing with moments in his life where he had stressful events. There's one section of Scripture that records a 24-hour period in Christ's life where these incredible things happen. He finds out John the Baptist was beheaded. We find out that Jesus feeds 5,000. Then there's a storm on the sea, and he comes and walks in the water. And all these things happen within a 24-hour time frame. I mean, it's just this incredible, stressful time in Christ's life. How does he deal with it? And we find some great thoughts in Psalm 23. So maybe today you find yourself a little tired, a little worn down, a little stressed out. Well, this is a good day for you to be in God's house. Now, maybe you're not at that point, but I got a word of encouragement. You're going to find some stress in your life maybe tomorrow morning when you walk into work. You don't know it's coming. Hey, but good news, God knows it's coming. And God wants to prepare you now on how to walk through those days. Now, let me just think about this way. Seven things that might be in your mind that might cause stress in our lives. These are pretty no-brainers, not anything rocket science. Number one, the word worry. Now, how many of you would say, I am a professional worrier? You might want to just be honest and admit that already. Good, good, good. Most of you are moms. Yeah, see, you moms have an incredible gift. Y'all know that? Most of us men don't worry. Why bother? Because y'all are already worrying about it for us and everybody else, right? Typically, that's how that rolls. Now, some of you men are worriers too, right? But worry. We worry about more than anything else before. What do we worry? Boy, worry. Worry comes into our lives. We worry, what would happen if I lost my cell phone? Right? 5 years ago, if you lost your cell phone, the worst that could happen, well, you might lose some contacts, right? Some people that you needed to have their phone number. Now, right? About a month ago, no, back at the end of July, I was going grocery shopping on Saturday morning, went to Winn-Dixie, and I didn't have a clip at the time. My other phone, it was in a nice, one of these Defender cases, right? I found something it cannot defend, all right? And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's called a tailgate coming down at full blunt force. It will crack a screen, right? But we don't lose just that. We're stressed. I was stressed out. I have pictures on here, lots of pictures, right? We don't carry cameras anymore. Most of us, right? This is our camera. It has our calendar. It has all of our contacts and phone numbers and email addresses. Stress right here, right? This is supposed to not stress me out, but it stresses me out. I mean, it stresses you out, right? We think about worry. Some of you this week, we looked on the internet, the blessed internet that always tells the truth. Always. Believe everything you read on the internet, okay? No, right. Please don't. 9/11, ISIS. There are people who are genuinely worried. Lose sleep over it. Worried. What does the Bible have to say about that? How do we deal with moments like that? The second thing is not only worry, is hurry. Always in a hurry, right? We're always in a hurry. Our world's in a hurry. We're always going at a faster pace. Everything, faster and faster. We want things immediately. We want it done yesterday, right? We don't walk from place to place anymore. We run. We drive a car. Why do we raise the speed limit? You ever thought about this? So we can get there faster. Or for some of you, you're stressed out because you're late, so you'd be able to go faster, you can get there on time, right? That's another one. I didn't mention that one. Always in a hurry. There's worry, there's hurry. The third thing is crowds. There's more people than ever before on planet Earth. Large cities. Now, here in a smaller city, we don't quite deal with this. I mean, a traffic jam in downtown Pedal is just the light down there by the middle school because it won't change, right? That's pretty much a traffic jam in Pedal. In Clanton, Alabama, a small town where I moved from here, there's Friday afternoons about 3 o'clock coming up the hill into Clanton, downtown Clanton. There would be a line. It would back up about, 30 cars. You know, huge traffic jam. Take you like 5 minutes to get through it. Horrible, right? Now, some of you have been in cities where you know what it's like. Atlanta. Just say that word and you just want to right? Houston, Texas, right? Birmingham, Alabama. Right, the studies say that people spend like billions of hours a year or over their lifetime stuck in traffic. Now, some of you, traffic doesn't stress you out. Others of us, my dad was one of them, very calm, nice guy. We got behind the wheel. I mean, you know, just like the road rage, right? Just hurry, worry, hurry. Thirdly, and then traffic. Thirdly, or crowds. Fourthly, stress is all about multiple choice, right? You used to be back in the day, you walked into Walmart. And I just need a cold, something for my cold, right? Walking out of the cold aisle, and you have 4,000 options of which to choose from. I just want my same old toothpaste I had 30 years ago. I want it in the same tube, in the same amount they used to give me, because now they give me half in the same tube what they used to give me. They think I don't know, but I know. I know. My soap bar, I want the same soap I had 25 years ago. I like to keep it the same way. Now you go to the toothpaste aisle, and there are 4,000 kinds of toothpastes and 900 different kinds of toothbrushes, right? There's options. We think that's a good thing, but that's not necessarily a great thing. I mean, just think about it. Some of you love Starbucks. How many of you love Starbucks? Well, you're a Starbucks person. Good. Most of you are very broke, too. I know, because it's like $8 a cup now, right? You go into, I just want a cup of coffee. No. You got to have the espresso and the latte and the cold and the hot and the in-between and the this and the that and the foam and the cream and the whatever, right? Options that causes stress. Notice this loss of privacy. Everybody's keeping tabs on you. Ever worry about your credit? Ever worry about somebody getting your credit card number? Ever worry about somebody finding out information about you? Ever worry about the government spying on you? Ever worry about getting on your cell phone and saying some word that the NSA is going to get to you? Worry. Home Depot, Target. You ever been to Home Depot or Target in the last year? Panic. Somebody's got my number. Wesley Medical Center, we were upset about that. They got phone numbers. They got social security numbers. Right? Causes stress. Another thing, the last two that causes, the word pluralism. Now, someone's going, pluralism, what in the world is that? Well, think about it this way. Everybody in our world has different beliefs, convictions, lifestyles. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, our America, though, had lots of different kinds of cultures at the time. It was more of a homogeneous place. Everything was very simple. But now technology has shrunk the globe. Our world, our nation is not really a melting pot. We're more like a stew now. We just kind of stir it all up and everything happens. You know what that happens? That means there's conflict. Because there are people who are living side by side. That's why we have conflicts. We talk about the Muslim world, right? There's conflicts in America right here. Most people don't know that there in America, 100 years ago, there would never have been a mosque in the South, or much less in America, period, a Hindu temple. Can you have imagined that would ever have been the case? Yet because of the day and age in which we live, that's where we find ourselves. So we're trying to weave this, navigate this road of people who believe all kinds of different things, and therefore it breeds conflict. And that, notice the last one, the fear of the future. Some of y'all are what we call what-ifers. It's a very special club. You go to somebody and say, yeah, they say, yeah, but what if, right? But what if this and what if that? We worry about our future. We worry about our finances. We worry about our family. We worry about our health. We worry. We worry. Yet we find in this most beloved psalm that gives some of the greatest comfort to us to think about this statement, this thought. How we think matters. What our attitude about life is matters. How we get that attitude matters from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 on your outline, it says this. I don't know if we've got it on the screen or not, but here's what it says. Peace of mind makes the body healthy. When we're stressed, we're not healthy. When we have peace of mind, our bodies function better. Another translation says it this way, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Well, straight from Solomon, from the wise words of Solomon. Think about it. If you're stressed and you're tense, right, all the time, you're not going to have a long life. But for relax, now relax, we think the word relax, we think, oh, it just means I don't care, laissez-faire, whatever happens. No, it's not that. But it means that we're relaxed. Why are we relaxed? Why was this man relaxed? Because of these seven steps we're going to talk about out of Psalm 23. Let's read Psalm 23 together. Very familiar verse. Here's what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's just read this together. We all know this together. Let's just read off the screen together. Can we do that? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let those words sink in a moment. Many times, on time we hear that psalm, it seems now, as at a funeral. But that's not all this verse has to apply to. It applies to our everyday life. How to deal with worry, how to deal with stress in our lives. How do we do it? Well, he says it right here. Number one, notice this. He says, look to God to meet all your needs. Look to God to meet all of your needs. Now, on the surface, we'll say to us, well, of course I think that. Of course I believe that. Yet, if we really find a look at our lives, does it line up with that truth? Do we really believe that God will meet all our needs? Now, we might believe it with our head, but does it affect how we live, what our actions are? This single change your life to stop looking to other people to meet your needs. Do not look at your husband or your wife to meet your needs. Stop putting your security in things that you can lose, right? We put our security sometimes in our job. We lose our job, we lose our peace of mind. We put our security in our marriage. Our spouse dies or they go through a tragic divorce. Then we go, who am I? What is my identity? Maybe we put our security in money. And we all know there's lots of ways to lose money. As your pastor and as a friend, let me say this to you. We should never put our security in things that can be taken away from us. You can lose your job. You can lose your health. You can lose your money. You can lose your reputation. You can lose your spouse. You can even lose your mind. But you cannot lose your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a good word. Psalm 23, again, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice this. The one translation says this. So I have all I, watch this, need. Not all that I want, because none of us, if we're honest, would ever say, well, I've got all that I want. We would never say that. I have all that I need. I have nothing that I don't need because God's going to be my shepherd. I don't worry about other people meeting my needs or things to meet my needs or making me security. I trust in God to do that. Romans chapter 8 reminds us, since God did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us, won't he surely also give us everything else that we need? If God loved us enough to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross, don't you think he loves us enough to take care of every detail of our lives? Sometimes I think we think, well, Lord, I'll trust you to save me, but after that, it's all up to me. Can I give you an encouraging word? It's not. God provides the same power that he saved you, the power to help you live this life. Don't look to other people to meet your needs, other things to meet your needs. How do we do that? How do we get our eyes off of people and things and stuff and get them on God? Well, we talked about it last week. We come back to it again. We refocus on God. We worship. Isaiah 30 verse 15 says, the sovereign Lord says, only in returning to me and waiting for me will you be saved. In quietness and in confidence is your strength. Notice he said that doesn't come from hard work, planning, self-motivation, positive mental attitude. He's saying quietness and confidence is your strength, which comes from the Lord. So great news. It doesn't matter what your needs are physically, financially, spiritually, mentally, relationally, vocationally. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. You didn't realize how rich you are this morning, some of you this morning. You didn't know how blessed you are this morning. The Bible says, God says, you have all that you need in him. Notice the second thing. I need to obey God's instruction about rest. I need to obey God's instruction about rest. Now, I'm going to skip that and go number 3 because I don't like that one. Okay, just kidding. Now, some of us don't like this. Some of us are good resters. Others of us, we stink at resting. We are always on the go, right? JRN loves to make fun of me. He's not here today, so I can talk about him. It works out good. Should have been here today. JR loves to make fun of me how I walk. You know, I never realized how fast I walked until I had on Sunday shoes, those loud, clompy shoes at the bottom. And I realized when I got married how fast I walked. Before that, nobody ever really walked beside me. But when Rebecca would walk beside me, she finally looked at me. She said, if you don't slow down, I'm going to fall or pass out one or the other. I'm like, I'm not walking that fast. She said, listen to how fast you're walking. You sound like a horse. Blah, 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 blah. I'm always in a hurry. Always moving to the next thing. I've got something on my mind, and I'm going to go get it. There's not time to rest. There's no time to rest. I've got to go, 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 go. And I was younger. That's all I thought about. I got to go, 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 go. Now that I've gotten older, I wish I'd learned this when I was younger, but sometimes it's just, I guess, getting older, I realize that rest is of great value. I used to have a very difficult time sitting on the couch doing nothing because I felt guilty. What am I doing? Why am I mean, I need to be doing something. I'm just a doer. Some of you are like that. I've just got to be doing something all the time. If it's not inside the house, it's outside the house. If it's not my job, it's something else. I mean, I need to be doing something all the time. And I've been learning over the last several years, and sometimes the Lord will teach you, whether you want him to or not, you'll find a place of rest, won't you? Sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I'll never get caught up. Can I give you a fresh word from the Lord? Are you ready for this? You're never going to get caught up. Not this side of eternity. Well, I'm eventually going to get that to-do list done. No, you won't, because there'll be a new to-do list next week. True? Right? You know, the Bible says, I mean, the statistics say you will spend, are you ready for this? This is a great word. You will spend 1/3 of your life sleeping. Now, for some of you teenagers, in your earlier years, it's about 2/3 of your earlier life. Right? Moms and dads, right? They can sleep like to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. All right? We'll spend that. So why did God make us to have rest? Why did he do that? God modeled to us that on the seventh day, God rested. Because our bodies, he knew, would need a Sabbath, a day to recover, a day to rest. God created us for rest, recreation, worship, and restoration. Why? It's so we don't burn out. You know, in the French Revolution, they got rid of the Sabbath. They got rid of Sundays for several years. And they eventually had to bring it back because their world began to come apart. The society began to crumble. Why? Because we are people who need to have rest. Now, some of you think a day off, that's not a good word, because a day off means a day off from work, a day off to do something else, right? We need to have times of rest. Notice in Psalm 23, verse 2, it says, he makes me lie down. God ever made you lay down? Remember the last time you got sick? Did you have it planned and prepared? Okay, I'm going to get sick on this day. No. You didn't know it, and you went so hard, so fast, so long, your body was so worn out that when you finally got sick, buddy, you laid down, whether you wanted to or not. And yet, if we would take better care of ourselves and rest, we know that we would do better. My best requires rest. It is not wasting time. I want to encourage you to do that. How do we do that? Just real quickly. Rest your body. Physically rest. Some of you this afternoon are going to be really good. You're going to take a good Sunday afternoon nap. Amen. There it is right there. Look for that Sunday afternoon nap. My dad was a professional. He took a 3-hour Sunday afternoon nap and still knew the score of every NFL game he was watching. Don't know how he did it, but he rested. He worked all the rest of the week, but that is Sunday was a Sabbath. Don't wake up dad on Sunday afternoon. Always took that nap. Rest my body. Notice the second thing. Refocus my spirit. You know, that's what you're doing right now. That's why one of the reasons worship is so important. We're refocusing our spirit. Recharge our emotions. And everyone else should have a different Sabbath day, what that day would look for you. Now, Sunday's a part of a Sabbath in my understanding of what I believe Scripture teaches us. It's a day we set aside for worship, for rest, to spend with the Lord. Then maybe you have another day of the week. Maybe it's on Saturdays. We call them in my house, I call them in some ways sacred Saturdays, especially in the fall. I went and helped a lady move yesterday, a single mom, and took a couple hours out and was with somebody and said, what do you do on Saturdays? I said, I try to rest. I didn't tell them that's what I was preaching on, but I said, I try to rest. And it's true, I want to rest. I need that time. So do you. Well, there's not time to rest. Folks, there has to be time to rest. It's biblical. We got to plan places to rest. And don't feel guilty. By the way, Jesus rested too when he was here on earth. Somebody said one time, well, pastor, I tried to get a hold of you all day on Monday. The pastor said, I'm sorry, that's my day off. The man said, the devil never takes a day off. And the pastor said, yeah, and if I didn't, I'd be just like the devil. That'll get to y'all in just a minute. Sometimes that's why people are mean. They're just not getting enough sleep and enough rest. You're a little devil because you're not taking the Sabbath day. Jesus needs to be our model. Take a day off. Thirdly, notice this, recharge my soul with beauty. You ever heard somebody say, I felt so close to God in nature? Right? Why do some of us love going to the beach? Some of you love going to the beach, right? We love to hear that the waves crash. We love to see somehow a sunset over the Gulf of Mexico is much prettier than over the Pine Belt. I don't know why that is, but it works out well because a lot of people make a lot of money on us to take a trip down there to see that beautiful sunset, right? Put our toes in the sand. Others of you don't want any part of sand, take me to the mountains. Take me to Gatlinburg. Take me to Colorado. Somewhere where I can see and look on the top of the mountains. And that same sunset we'd see in the Pine Belt with the same kind of trees, pine trees, we take it up there in the mountain and it looks different. What? It's beautiful. A sunrise, a sunset, a snowfall, all kinds of things are beauty. Why did God make them? Because they recharge our soul. That's why music is so very important. That's why the arts are so very important. Why? Because they help us. They recharge our soul. Much to say about this. Not even close to enough time this morning. But think about this. Find time in your day to get outside. Now, I know in the summertime in Mississippi, that's always a joy. Those want to be a very brief moments, you know. I want to walk quickly from my car and the air conditioning to the building inside with air conditioning, and I will look around very quickly and notice, right? But other times of the year, this breeze this morning blowing through, it feels so good. We need to find time to be outside. Second, notice this. Start your day with God, not the media. Hello. Did you know this? This is true study. The first 7 minutes of your day set your mood every day. Rebecca, I realize it now. How come I'm in such a foul mood some days? I know why. I was in a better mood, I think, when we didn't have WDAM for 2 weeks. Did I turn that on while I'm shaving, getting ready in the morning? And what is always on the news? Positive, uplifting stuff? No. Only thing that's on the news is if it's awful and terrible, right? The weatherman telling us there's going to be awful storms. You need to hide and duck and cover, right? What if you started the first 7 minutes of your day with the Lord? What if you started with your Transform book? What if you started with the Scripture? What a difference it would make. We need these moments. Did you know that more songs, more books, more artwork, all those things have been created about Christ and God more than all the others combined? Wow. Sometimes when I get really stressed, I'll come in here. I hadn't done it too often, but did it in my last church a lot. Come in and just play the piano and relieve stress. Part of music. Notice the fourth thing. Go to God for guidance. Go to God for guidance. Now, that sounds really deep, doesn't it? Some of you are going, well, duh, thanks for that deep thought, preacher. Good night. Go to God for guidance. Well, of course I do. Yeah, but do we? Do we really? Do we really go to God for guidance? I'll never forget, I would call my dad when he was alive, and I would call down and say, Dad, I don't know what to do. When I was coming here, the first time I had the conversation with Chris Rhodes, and I was walking into Children's Hospital in the fall of 2011 before he messed my life up, and I got the phone call, and I remember thinking to myself, man, Chris, I'm going to be praying for y'all because I am not the guy. That's exactly what I remember thinking. I'm not the guy. And so I remember calling my dad. I said, Dad, what do you think about this? And his first words every time, well, son, have you prayed about it? Well, Dad, I'm going to pray about it. I just want to know what you think about it. No, I want to know, did you pray about it? Have you read the Word of God about it? And then when you've done that, call me back. I just want you to tell me what I needed to do. Just tell me what you think. And I'd sit and think about it a while. He said, now, Brad, I'll pray about it. And I'll read the Word of God about it. And we'll talk and we'll pray together and see what we think maybe God's saying to you. It's great words of advice. Too often we go to somebody else. We go to a friend. We go to a spouse. We go to a parent. We go to a grandparent. We go to somebody we trust and respect instead of going to God for guidance. James 1 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men liberally, and he doesn't condemn or criticize them. Notice his statement about this, and I've seen this to be true in my life. God will guide me at the right time, not in the wrong time. His timing is perfect. He is never early, and he is never late. Never. Psalm 23, verse 3 says, he guides me in the right paths for his name's sake. God will lead you if you ask him to guide you. We know that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if we'll trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding. What? In all our ways, acknowledge him, and what will he do? He will make our paths straight. It's biblical. Go to God for guidance. Notice the fifth thing. Trust God in the dark valleys. The dark valleys. Dark valleys are hard. Some of you are in a dark valley today. You've been in one last week, or maybe you have one facing one this week. It's dark. It's difficult. It's hard. It's lonely. It's tiresome. It's depressing. And there are two common reactions when we get into the dark valleys. One is fear. The other is grief. Now, grief is a great thing. Now, many times we've been taught, especially in the South, maybe in America, for men, grief is always something that you never express. Right? You don't believe that? Go to a funeral and watch men almost explode. Literally. Just watch next time you go to a funeral and it's not your own family and just you're praying and observing. Just watch. There'll be some big old burly men. Right? And the bigger, the more burly, the more they try to hold it in, and you'll see them. They'll start shaking like this, trying not to cry. I got to be tough. I can't grieve. Yet the Bible says that Jesus wept. And if Jesus is man enough to weep, then why am not I? Guys, ladies, see, grieving is a normal process. Crying is important. Now, we can't go to the extreme. We can go too far with that, but we find a place of balance where we go through the stages of grief. We go through shock. We go through anger. We go through hurt. We go through pain. I want to encourage you. Maybe you've had something happen in your life. You've never grieved over it. You need to grieve over it. Now, grieving for some of us, we don't like because we feel out of control, and I'm one of those. I do my very best. I have to really work on this constantly. In the last couple of years, I've had to do that a lot, of working on grieving. And a lot of times, I just don't want to talk about it, think about it, but we need to grieve. Now, the opposite of that is fear. The opposite of that is fear. Now, the Bible says, grieve, great, no problem, but fear, that's not something where we need to be. Now, I want you to think about something for a moment. When we're afraid of things, and I don't have time to do this morning, but let me give you an example. Just real quick, let me walk up here real quick. Don't turn the lights on, Jake, because I'm going to do something. All right, so we got a little small light up here. You see this? We all love to play shadow puppets. Is this even going to work? Nope. The light's too dark. Can you change it to white, Jake, like on the fly? Nope. Good thought, though. All right, I want you to notice something about this light, though. How big is this light? So big or small? Very good. All right? I feel like doing the Grover and Cookie Monster. Near, far, right? Okay? Think about shadows for a moment. This light is small. If I got this light really bright, it was very intense, and I put it right here in front of me, and I shone it on the wall, how big would my shadow be? Huge, right? And in our lives, in the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of difficulty, or depression, or discouragement, or divorce, or whatever it is you're facing, that shadow becomes very, very large. But we need to remember that that which is causing the shadow in comparison to God is very small. That's a good word, isn't it? Now, not only that, think about it for a moment. In order for there to be a shadow, there must be a light to cause the shadow. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Well, you're going to walk through those valleys, and the shadows are going to seem large and overwhelming and huge. But be reminded, Jesus says, the shadows, though large and seem smothering, you need to look to the light. Notice the sixth thing, let God be my defender. Let God be my defender. Boy, there's just, my goodness, you're going to have to take time to read the notes later. There's just so much here. I'm not even close to maybe even half of what is here this morning. David was a guy who let God handle his defense. King David, I've told this story to several folks. Think about this for a minute. King David, we're almost through this morning. King David is anointed king, right? Why did God anoint David as a young teenager, knowing that he would be 40 years old before he became king? Why not anoint David at 39? He'd have never had to deal with Saul. He'd have never had to deal with Goliath. He'd have never had to deal with his brothers making fun of him. Never all the people that hated him. He would have had just a quiet life. Why? Why do that? Because we think for a moment, David learned to let God defend him. We notice in Scripture that David never attacked Saul, even in the moment that he had a chance to kill Saul and take him out. And by the way, if you know the story, Saul tried to kill David multiple times. Ran him. David ran all over everywhere. But I mean, you think about a moment. Had that not happened, if God had not been his defender, if David had allowed God to be his defender, we wouldn't have half the Psalms that we see. And not only that, in a book called The Tale of Three Kings, this author offers this statement. That in these moments that God was allowing David to see the Saul in him that needed to be removed before he could be the king that was called a man after God's own heart. Now, our nature is to want to defend ourselves. The one thing our parents will say, the one thing you got is your reputation, so you better protect it for all it's worth. And that's true. I learned this personally one time. My wife and I learned this. Right before we got married, we had a family in a church prior to where we were that, boy, they were very religious people. But they inflicted some of the greatest pain that I've ever experienced in my life, in my ministry. Very, very committed folks. I had given lots of time to this family. And their daughter had been sick. And this family turned and they began to spew untrue things about me. And I want to tell you, in my flesh, maybe you've been there before. Maybe you want to be super spiritual and act like you've never thought this before, but I did. I'd love to have gotten a hold of this sweet, kind, gossiping lady and just bless her. And just tell her what I thought about her and how much she had hurt me. And I'm going to tell her to be quiet. She was saying ugly things about my wife and her family. But I learned one of the greatest spiritual lessons in my life. I decided to do something. I don't know if I'd ever done it before. I remained quiet and silent. And I made this decision that my God is my defender. And he will eventually silence the enemy. And you know what happened? Breck will tell you, God did that very thing. I won't tell you it was easy. It was hard. It was months and months and months of this. But eventually, God defended my integrity and Rebecca's, and that it was right, and that God had honored it. And we stood together and got married in front of about 1,000 people. My wife loved that. God took care of it. We must fight our human reaction to assault, to defend, to try to tear somebody else down. And I have to give you a fresh word, because we need to be so very careful, folks. We see now on the internet, people love to spew garbage on the internet. They would never say face-to-face. Never. But the internet, because we are private, we can just let it roll. Can I be encouragement, Petal First Baptist Church? Give me a fresh word. Facebook, social media, all these things. You be very careful what you write. Be very careful what you post. People are watching and reading and listening. Let Jesus be your defender. He never retaliated. Remember, he stood before Pilate, never said a word. Notice the last one here, and this will close with this. There's so much more here. Expect God to finish what he started in me. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. When a shepherd would walk with his sheep, there would usually be sheepdogs behind them bringing up the rear. Perhaps the picture is one dog is named Goodness, the other is named Mercy, and follow me all the days of my life. Too often we think about all the what-ifs are following us behind our lives instead of focusing on what is actually following us in our lives. We can focus on our future saying, what if everything goes wrong? Or we can focus it on this way. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, this is good words and good news as we close this morning. God is going to finish what he started in you. He is. We may not finish the way we need to finish, but God says, I will finish. I will complete it in you until the day of the coming of Christ Jesus. How do we lower our stress? These 7 things we talked about. I'm going to expect God to finish what he started. And some of the ways we do that, by the way, is just to set some goals. Last week we encourage you to set a spiritual goal. This week we encourage you to set a physical goal over the next 90 days that you will pray that God will give you the ability to do these certain things. For some of us, your goal needs to be able to say this: I need to learn to take a day of rest one day a week. That'll be a goal for some of you. Some of you, that will be impossible because you are like worker bees. Maybe it's a spiritual goal. I need to spend time in the Word of God at least 5, 10, 15 minutes a day. I want to memorize a scripture. I want something that is a goal. Now, I don't know what burden you're carrying this morning or what you came in the door with, but one final promise. Jesus said in Matthew, the book of Matthew, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice there are three verbs here. Come to me, right? I will give to you, or take my yoke upon you is the other commands. Come to me, take my yoke. And the third one is, found the third one here real quick. Take my yoke, come to me, and I can't find the other one here. And learn and rest. Maybe the other one's here. Jesus doesn't say, come to me and I'll give you a bunch more stress. He says, and taking our yoke, listen, Jesus' yoke is light. Ours is heavy. And he says, come to me, all of you. If you're weary and heavy laden and you're stressed and you're tired and you're burned out and you're at your rope's end, you know what? It's a great place to be. Because that's where we find Jesus. And we rest and depend upon him. I don't know where you are this morning, but I know this much. Jesus is waiting for you to move in your life, being stressed, to remembering and reminded that you are blessed because of who you are in Jesus Christ. And he will be faithful to do in you what you can't do in yourself. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, that we can come, we can learn, and we can take. Lord, I pray this morning we would come to you just as we are. Lord, and rest in you. Lord, I know that some this morning, if they're really honest, there's not much rest in their lives. They're tired, they're weary, they're worn out. And Father, they may not even admit that to anybody else. But it is true, they're tired and they're weary. Father, would you bring them encouragement this morning? Father, bring them the truth that they can come to you and learn from you and take your yoke and give you theirs. Father, for some this morning, they need to do that, Lord, just in a real personal way for their own spiritual life. They've never really come to a place where they've given you their heart and their life. Lord, they would come and do that this morning. They would admit they're a sinner, believe you're the Son of God, confess you as their Savior, commit their life to you as the Lord. They say, I want to turn away from my sin and turn to Jesus and follow him the rest of my days. If you need to make that decision this morning, you can do that. Maybe you've made that decision privately, but you've never made it publicly. Mom or dad, boy or girl, you need to come and say yes to Jesus and let the world know that I'm a Christ follower and I'm going to be baptized. Maybe to come join this church family. Maybe for some, you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, the boy, it's right. This message was right on target for me. I need to rest in you. Lord God, speak to us. Maybe we'll be obedient to respond to you. Lord, thank you that you know our name. You know our every thought this morning. And we can come to you with open arms. Lord, hear our worship, see our response. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's